It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and this hour we have horror. Later on from The Haunting Hour from 1945, but first a broadcast of the sealed book called Time on My Hands. First heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on August 26th, 1945.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a man who was down and out and was willing to do anything for money. A tale titled Time on My Hands. Here is the tale, Time on My Hands, as it is written in the pages of the sealed book. Our story begins in one of the cells of the state penitentiary. Joe Martin, his face white and tense, is speaking to Father Dolan.
Father Dolan, I'm not faking insanity. I'm not. Everything I've told him is true. Look, you can make him see why it can't be tonight, why it mustn't be tonight. Oh, even if it's only put off until tomorrow, that'll be all right. Then I'll know that what Mr. Benedict said won't come true. Listen, this is how it happened. It all started late one night last September. It was awful cold. It had been getting darker and darker all afternoon. Then, just about midnight, the storm started.
Can't sleep here in the park, Joe. Not with all this rain coming down.
Yeah. Oh, it's really pouring now, isn't it? I still ain't raised the price of a flop. Oh, I just about sell myself to the devil for the price of a bed. Hey, look.
Eh? What's that you're picking up?
It's a fountain pen, see? I can hock it. Maybe I can get the price of a bed.
It's only a two-bit pen. You couldn't get a cent for it.
Well, I'm going to have a try. What can I lose?
Okay. And I'm heading downtown. I'll see you later.
Yeah. If I don't keel over first. Ooh. Coming down so hard, you can't see more than a couple of feet ahead. Oh, my feet is wet. I feel hot and cold. Hot and cold. Oh, here's Rand's pawn shop. Come on. Oh, no. Closed. No luck. Never no luck. Try Morris's place. Right along here somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Oh, closed, too. Why does this have to happen to me? Arnold's hawk shop has got to be open. It's not... can't see his window. Coming down so hard, I... he's got to be open. Nobody's looking me that bad. Be open, be open, be open. Oh, closed. Oh, he's closed too. Now what? I gotta keep walking or I'll keel over. No one in sight. I'm all alone. No friends, no place. No. What's that? A hawk shop? Never noticed this place before. Must be a new one. Here, I gotta get in. Gotta get some dough for this pen. I gotta. Must be the boss up there in the back of the shop working on his books. Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. You're new on the street, huh?
Why, yes, I am. But I've been in this business quite a number of years. Quite a number. You, have something you desire to pawn?
Huh? Oh, yeah. This here fountain pen.
May I see it, please?
Oh, sure. It's a fine pen. Writes good, too.
I'm afraid I wouldn't be interested in that.
Well, look, mister, couldn't you let me have something on it?
I'm sorry, but this pen is worthless.
Yeah, just my luck.
Possibly you have something else you can pawn.
Something else? Me? Well, I got time on my hands. Time. Nothing to do with it. Nothing but starve and freeze.
Ah, then perhaps we can do business after all.
Huh?
In fact, I can make you a very handsome offer. If you're prepared to sell, say, 5 years of your life.
Sell 5 years of my life? Look, how can you buy 5 years of my life?
Oh, it's very simple. Our firm, shall I say, does it all the time. You merely sign an agreement and the 5 years are deducted from your lifespan.
You mean I'd die 5 years sooner than I should?
Yes, but then think how unhappy your years are. Well?
Who are you, mister?
Why, do business under a dozen different names. Benedict is as good a name as any. Now come, are you willing to sell 5 years of your life? I'm prepared to offer you, shall we say, $1,000 a year.
$1,000 a year?
Yes, $5,000 in all. Think of it. With that money, you can live as you've always wanted to live.
Yeah, I know, but 5 years?
What will they mean to you? Cold, hunger, wet feet.
Yeah, wet feet. Sure would feel good to have a new pair of shoes on my feet. You got the money here, mister?
Yes, I always pay in cash.
$5,000, huh? Sure, why not?
Why not, indeed? I'll have to look your record up in my files. What is your full name, please?
Joseph Henry Martin.
Let me see. Joseph Henry Martin.
You mean you got my name in that file?
Why, yes. We try to keep our records complete. You were born December the 22nd, 1912.
Yeah.
Your father's name was Richard. Your mother's name was Margaret.
Yeah, you're right.
Very well, Mr. Martin. Your record is satisfactory and we can do business. If you'll just sign this form, please.
Yeah, mister. This line, huh?
Yes, please. Your name in full and the date.
Joseph Henry Martin, October 5th. There. What about the dough?
Of course. If you will just feel in the right-hand pocket of your coat.
Money? A handful of $500 bills.
Please count them to make sure the sum is correct, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, be glad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's all there. $5,000.
It's been a pleasure to do business with you, Mr. Martin. Good night.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It's mutual. Good night. $5,000. Ah, I'm rich. Oh, am I going to have me a time? Come on, service. How about some service in this hotel? I want a room, see? No. I want a suite. The best suite you got, Mac. With a bath. Never mind how I look. Never mind. I got dough, see? $500 bill. Now, do I get that suite or don't I? Six suits, brother. That's what I said. I want six suits. Tweed. Like them in a window. Only with more color in them, see?
When a guy's got dough, he wears tweeds. And I got dough, see? Any fur coat you like, baby, just name it. Go ahead, name it. That one? Okay, mister, wrap it up. Go on, you heard what the lady said.
But one day, a little more than 3 months after Joe had come into his newfound wealth, he was shocked to learn that he was overdrawn at the bank. It seemed the $5,000 was gone. Even more, he owed a hotel bill of $400. Late that night, Joe skipped his hotel and took up residence at a cheap boarding house. One by one, his possessions began to go.
What do you mean, only... What? $10 for these suits? Look, they're worth 60 anyway. Look, Mac, I paid a tailor... $10, huh? Okay, let me have it. Only a dollar for my hat? $1? But, well, I gotta have a bed tonight, so okay. Say, Bud, can you help a fella that's down and out, huh? Huh? Can you help me out with a little something, mister, huh? Just a little... you louse. Didn't even look at me. Midnight, ain't even got the price of a flop yet. Raining again. Always it rain. 4 months ago, I had $5,000. Now I ain't got a dime. I didn't got anything left to pawn. Nothing. Not even a... Wait a minute. Yeah, sure I am. Why didn't I think of that before? Benedict's pawn shop. I'm still young. I got plenty of time left. I'm going to see Benedict.
Soaked to the skin, his shoes leaking, Joe Martin trudged through the rain toward Benedict's pawn shop. He peered anxiously ahead as he approached it.
Just a little further and I'll be there. He's got to be open. He's just got to. Yeah. There's a light in his window. He is open.
Good evening.
Oh, Mr. Benedict. Remember me?
Certainly. You're Joseph Henry Martin.
Yeah, that's right. Look, how'd you like to buy another 5 years of my life from me, huh?
Just a minute, please, while I get your record from the file.
You can bet this time I ain't going to waste my dough.
Ah, here we are. Joseph Henry Martin.
Yeah. Well, is it a deal for another 5 years, huh?
Yes, we can do business.
Ah, good.
However, Mr. Martin, I can only pay you $500 a year this time. $2,500 in all.
$2,500? Oh, but look, you gave me $5,000 for the first 5 years.
Yes, I know, but we're rather heavily stocked just now.
$2,500? I don't know. I was kind of counting on buying a farm with the $5,000.
Well, perhaps we can do business another time, when conditions are more favorable.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think it over.
Do so, by all means. It's quite all right.
My clothes are soaked. My feet are wet. $2,500, I could... All right, it's a deal.
If you'll just sign your name and the date on this form, as before.
Okay. Joseph Henry Martin. What's the date?
January the 18th. And put down the time, Joseph. 2 minutes past two.
2 minutes past two. Yeah.
Fine.
Hey. Hey, you can feel a dough in my pocket again. Yeah, it's 10, 15, 20, 25, 2,500, yeah. Look, hey, maybe I better sell you another 5 years, huh? I could get a much better farm for 5,000, you know.
Sorry, but I'm afraid we're not interested in any further purchases.
Why not?
You have no more time to sell.
No more? What do you mean?
According to my records, with the sale you've just made, deducted from your lifespan, you have just 2 more hours to live.
2 hours?
Yes. You're now due to die at 3 minutes after 4 o'clock, in exactly 2 hours.
Nah, that's a mistake. It must be.
No, Mr. Martin. I have your record right here, and our records are never wrong.
Then what did you let me sell you the 5 years for?
My dear Mr. Martin, You asked me to buy them.
Yeah, but what good is a 2,500? Now, to take back your dough and give me back my 5 years.
I regret to say that there are no exchanges.
There's got to be one, do you hear me? I'm warning you. You're going to give me back my 5 years, or aren't you?
I should like to oblige, but it's against our policy.
Oh, it is it? Maybe this will have you change your mind, huh?
I should put down that knife if I were you, Mr. Martin.
Put it down when I get back my 5 years, or no sooner. Do I get him?
I'm sorry to say no.
Take that! What are you standing there smiling for? I stabbed you! You gotta fall! Fall, do you hear me? You're not even bleeding.
No, Mr. Martin, I'm not even bleeding. You'd better pick up your money and go.
Yeah, but look, don't you see? Give me a break, will you, mister?
You have 1 hour and 58 minutes left now. I'm sorry, Mr. Martin.
You can't let me die like this. You can't do it. You got to give me more time, please.
Well, I think we could arrange for you to have more time if you care to sell your soul.
Huh? Sell my soul?
It's of trifling value, of course, but my firm has a certain use for such things.
My soul? I never thought very much about it. Never had any use for it myself, I guess.
Few people do. It's superfluous at best.
What was that?
Merely the clock striking the quarter hour. It's now 2:15.
2:15. All right, I'll sell. Where do I sign?
Well, unfortunately, in this matter, your signature would not be binding. There's only one way I could be certain of getting my property when the time comes.
What way is that?
You'd have to, shall we say, remove some person from this life.
You mean kill someone?
Exactly. And in return, you shall have the balance of the victim's life. You may be fortunate enough to find someone who has 30 or 40 years to live. Just think, all that time would be yours.
Yeah, but to have to kill somebody...
Oh, you don't have to. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, but if I don't... Die in 2 hours.
1 hour and 47 minutes, to be exact.
No, I couldn't kill no one. Even if it means I die tonight. I can't do it, you hear me? I'm getting out of here.
That means 1 hour and 3 minutes to live.
1 hour and 3 minutes?
I gotta get out of the storm. There's a bar room. I could use a drink.
What do you have?
Double whiskey. Keep them coming. Another.
Say, pal, you already put away a bottle. Don't you think you had enough for one night?
Look, you just keep setting them up. I'm paying for it, ain't I?
Okay, it's your funeral.
Don't say that!
All right. I didn't mean nothing by it.
Last time I'll ever hear a clock strike. Only 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Did you say something?
No! What's that?
What's what?
What's that clock ticking? Where is it?
Clock? There ain't no clock ticking in here.
There is!
Listen, guy, you had a couple too many, I guess.
Look, I can hear it, I tell you. It's ticking, ticking. Tell me I've only got 3 minutes left.
Look, fella, it's time you was going. I don't like the way you're talking.
Yeah. Gotta get out of here. Gotta get away from that clock.
As it is written in the sealed book, his heart pounding in his ears, Joe ran out of the bar and down the street, terror clutching his heart. Try as he would, he couldn't rid himself of one thought. The clock had just struck four. The end was fast approaching. Breathless, he came to a stop, looked around wildly.
3 minutes to live. 3 minutes. No, no. Must be only two now. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to live. I've got to do it. I've got to. Time is going so fast. The street's empty. No, no, no. Here comes somebody. Mister, you got a match?
Yeah, sure. Hey, why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, no, you're old. You must be over 70.
Yes, but
you... Ah, you're no good to me. I want someone with lots of life left, lots of life for me to live.
You're mad.
Wait a minute. Here comes somebody else. Somebody young. I can tell by the way he walks. Somebody with years to live yet. It's my last chance. Hey, mister.
You call me?
Yeah, you got the time?
Yeah, sure. Exactly 2.5 minutes after four.
Means I got 30 seconds left. 30 seconds.
Now, what are you doing with that knife?
Don't.
Well, I...
Don't! I've done what you said. I killed a man. I kill him, do you hear me? I kill a man.
Yes, I know you have.
I'm a murderer.
But you're alive. And as you see, it's 4:15.
Yeah, I'm alive. And his time...
I'm sure you'll put it to excellent use.
Yeah. Took his wallet so as to get his name. Proved he I did it. His name is Frank R. Caldwell.
Frank R. Caldwell. I'll look it up in the files.
He's young. He wanted to live too, but I killed him.
Frank R. Caldwell. Here it is.
How much? How much time I got to live?
Now, let me see. His file expires on August 20th.
August 20th? What year?
This year.
This year?
Yes. You've received just 7 months from him.
7 months? No. You must be wrong. He was so young.
I'm sorry, but 7 months was all he had.
Oh, no, no, he can't.
You'll find our records are quite correct. So your card will be removed from our files at 10 minutes after 11 p.m. on August 20th.
No. Ah, August 20th. Oh, that's wonderful. So that's what you've done to me. August 20th. Oh, no. August 20th. August
20th. That's the man who stopped me.
Where are you? Just a minute there.
Yeah, that's the man, all right. He's the one that killed that poor boy.
Yeah, come along, you. You're under arrest.
August 20th, is that? 7 months! Just 7 months! Don't you see, Father Dolan? He said I was going to die on August 20th. Oh, August 20th. So that's why it's got to be put off until tomorrow. Because today is the 20th, and if I go tonight, then he'll... 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. No.
Sorry, Father Dolan. His time is up. You ready, Joe?
Yeah. I sure would, I'm ready. It's time for me to go, isn't it? Just the time he said I'd go.
And so ends the tale, Time on My Hands, as it is written in the sealed book. As Joe was strapped into the electric chair, there was a look of terror in his eyes. It was not death that terrified him, but the thought of Mr. Benedict. Mr. Benedict, who would be waiting for him. Thank you. And now, keeper of the book, before you close the great volume, show us the tale we tell next time. This one. Ah, yes. The tale of a man who committed the perfect murder, only to discover that every murder must be paid for. The tale is titled Death Laughs Last. Be sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, produced and directed by Jock McGregor, is written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan.
The Sealed Book, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 26th of August, 1945 on Mutual. The director of that show, Jock McGregor, got his start in radio on all of the major networks, from NBC, CBS, which led to regular work on the Mutual Broadcasting System, where he was lead director for the Nick Carter Master Detective series, a very popular show at the time, and at times for The Mysterious Traveler on the network, of which The Sealed Book radio show was actually an offshoot from, repeating many stories from when they first aired on The Mysterious Traveler. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for The Haunting Hour, a 1945 episode from NBC syndication called The Hands of Mr. Smith.
No. No, stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the haunting hour. Midnight, an alleyway, dark and ominously quiet, in the dimly lighted factory district on the outskirts of a big city. In the black shadows, two men wait, their hats pulled down over their eyes, their hands tense in their overcoat pockets. Suddenly, one of the men leans forward in the velvet darkness to peer down the deserted street.
I don't see him, Russ.
He'll be along.
I can hardly wait to get my hands on that dough.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Russ. My hands. The way they're shaking.
Take it easy, Tiny.
It's funny. Every time I wait to stick up a guy, my mitts get shaking like this.
You'll keep them paws under control.
Oh, sure, sure.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I won't do nothing. I won't touch the guy.
Remember that.
But why don't he come, Russ?
Get back here.
But where is he? I can see the factory door, but he ain't come out yet.
Get back here, I said.
Okay.
Listen.
A car's coming.
Cops.
Huh?
Police car.
A couple of lousy cops.
Shut up.
Well, maybe they'll spot our car. Maybe they'll stop and start looking around.
I said shut up.
Oh, look, they're going by. They ain't stopping.
Stand still.
They turned the corner.
Oh, that's better.
Gee, now my hands are shaking worse than ever.
I told you to keep them big paws quiet.
I'm trying to, Russ. A guy can't do more than that.
I'll do it. When this cashier comes along, keep your hands in your pocket, and you won't be tempted.
I'll remember. I won't touch him, Russ.
Here he comes.
Are you sure?
That's him. He's all alone. He just came out of the factory.
He's carrying something?
A paper bag. He's got the dough in a paper bag.
This is one trip to the bank he ain't never going to finish.
Steady now.
Yeah.
Okay, mister, get him up.
Well,
Who are you?
Get him up, the man said.
Take the bag, Tiny.
Don't shoot. I won't yell.
He won't yell, he says.
Take that bag, Tiny, you sap.
I don't like this guy.
Keep your hands down, Tiny.
Give me that bag.
Sure. I said I would.
How much is in here?
$3,000.
$3,000? Listen, you punk.
Stop. Get go of me.
Cut it out, Tiny. But only $3,000, he said.
Stop. You're joking.
I don't like you.
Let go of him, Tiny.
But I don't like him. He looks like that guard at the big house.
I give the money.
Yeah, and I'm giving you something.
Stop, Tiny. Let go or I'll knock you cold.
Yeah, this guy won't stand still.
Drop him.
Let go. Okay. I'll let him go.
You killed him.
Huh?
You killed him, you sap. He's dead.
But he looked just like that guard that slugged me.
Get in the car.
We're gonna leave him here?
Get in the car, I said.
Where's the door?
I got it. Get in. Move.
Address him laying there. Suppose them cops come back.
Shut the door. We're getting out of here.
Where are we going? This ain't the way the apartment.
We're not going to the apartment.
Oh, why not? I told Claire I'd bring the money home tonight.
Keep watching that rearview mirror.
There ain't no cops on our trail. But where are we going,
Russ? We're ditching this car, you dope.
Oh, yeah. Sure, we don't need this hot jalopy no more tonight.
I thought I told you to keep your hands off that cashier.
Oh, now listen, Russ.
This stick up in the bag, but you had to go and scrag the guy.
I didn't mean to kill him. There was something about him, and once I got my mitts on his throat...
I know, you can't make those big paws behave.
I'm sorry, Russ.
I had my rod on him. All you had to do was take the bag, get in the car while I knocked him cold, and we had smooth sailing.
I said I was sorry, Russ.
You're always sorry.
But look, we got the $3,000, didn't we? We're in the clear, nobody saw us, nobody heard us.
What do you mean, us? I didn't kill him.
Hey.
What's the matter?
Back there. I think a prowl car just turned the corner.
Well, is it?
No. That ain't no prowl car. Just a black sedan like this one. It pulled up the curb.
We'll turn off at the next corner, Brain.
Plenty deserted around here. Why don't we stop here?
Go on a little further along where it's darker.
Yeah, Claire's gonna wonder what's happened. I said I'd be at the apartment by 12:30.
Claire will know soon enough.
Yeah. Wait till I show her the $3,000 we got.
Wait till she hears about the murder.
Oh, I won't tell her tonight.
No, she can read it in the morning papers.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we're getting kind of far out of town. When are we going to stop?
Right here. I'll pull off the road. Okay. We'll leave her here.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Not even a house in sight.
Give me your gun, Tiny.
My gun?
Your gat. Give it to me.
But what for?
To keep you out of trouble.
Ah, now listen, Russ.
Now, we're leaving this car. We're walking to the nearest bus line. If there's a cop on the bus and he looks at you twice, you're going to start shooting, so hand over your rod.
Okay, here it is.
That's better. And now, Tiny, give me the money.
Huh?
The paper bag with the money. Hand it over.
Hey, what is this?
Give me the money, Tiny.
Oh, sure. Here it is. Come on, now let's get out of this car.
Sit still.
Yeah?
You're staying here.
Wait a minute.
Keep those hands quiet.
Hey, Russ, watch that gun. You're pointing it right at me.
You said it. I'm washed up with you, and so's Claire.
What? Claire?
Yeah, Claire, your wife. She's fed up to the teeth, so am I.
You and Claire... Oh, so that's why you didn't drive the apartment... That's why you came way out here. You and Claire crossing me up. You're figuring I'm bumping me off?
That's right.
Give me that gun.
You bet I will.
Oh, Russ, I'll get you for this. I'll get Claire and you if I have to dig my way out of my own grave.
Thank you. gotta beat it, Russ. We gotta pack up and beat it out of here tonight.
What, at 2 o'clock in the morning? Not on your life. We're staying here until this whole thing blows over.
But that cashier. Maybe the cops have found him already. They're bound to find him soon. They're bound to find Tiny.
What of it, Claire? They can't connect it up with you and me.
I'm scared, Russ. Suppose Tiny wasn't dead. Suppose he drove the car back here to the apartment somehow.
You must believe in ghosts.
He said he'd get us, didn't he? He said he'd get us if he had to dig his way out of his own grave.
Oh, I shouldn't have told you that.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Nothing doing, Claire. We're staying right here. Come on, baby. Unlock the trunk.
The trunk?
Sure. We'll hide the dough in your trunk until this whole thing blows over. Come on, honey. Unlock it.
It is unlocked.
This lid is kind of rusty, huh? There we are. I'll shove this $3,000 under all these clothes.
Those are Tiny's clothes.
Oh, come on. Relax, Claire. Now, let me lock it.
Wait.
What's the matter?
You've locked the trunk.
Oh, sure.
But Tiny has the only key. He always carries it with him.
What about it? We'll get another one. I'll have a new one made tomorrow.
What was that?
Sounded like glass breaking.
It was he in the apartment somewhere.
Maybe it wasn't.
I'm sure it was. It sounded like it came from the bathroom.
Well, let's find out.
Wait a minute.
What for?
Have your gun ready.
My gun?
That window in the bathroom. Maybe Tiny climbed up the fire escape.
Oh, will you forget Tiny? He's dead, I tell you. Come on. Let's find out what that noise was. There, you see? There's no one in the bathroom.
The window's open. I closed it and locked it tonight before you and Tiny left.
Oh, now listen, Claire.
Look. Look, there on the windowsill.
What's the matter now?
Blood. Blood on the windowsill. Yeah. And here, on the floor, more of it. I tell you, Tiny did come back. He drove that car back here, climbed the fire escape, and he's hiding here in the apartment waiting to kill us.
Quiet, Claire, quiet.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, no, you're not. You go flying down the street at this time of night, and some cop will pick you up as sure as my name's Rogers.
But that blood on the sill, on the floor, the window open.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, this stuff on the floor, this isn't blood.
Of course it's blood.
No, Claire, you're wrong. Look, 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 there, under the bathtub.
What is it?
A bottle. A little bottle of that stuff you paint your nails with.
I kept that bottle on the windowsill.
All right, okay. So the wind, something blew it off. That's what we heard. This bottle breaking. That's what made those spots in here.
Listen.
Police car.
Sounded like it. Stopped in front of the building.
Oh, yeah. Come on, living room.
Suppose they followed Tiny here. Suppose he drove the car back here.
Will you stop talking about Tiny? Put out the lights.
What for?
Put out the lights, Claire.
All right.
Now, I'll peek under this window shade and see where that police car is.
Are they out front?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Two cops in front of the building.
What are they doing?
They're looking at a car.
What car?
A black sedan parked in front of a building.
You said the car you used tonight was a black sedan.
All right. There's a million black sedans in this country, Mike.
But why are the cops looking at the one out front? Why are they putting their flashlights on the running board? Why are they looking inside?
How do I know?
Because Tiny drove it here. He isn't dead. You didn't kill him. He drove that car back here, climbed the fire escape, and he's in the apartment somewhere waiting to get us. Somebody at the door.
Shh.
What are you going to do?
Open up.
Police.
Open up, Smith. We want in.
The midnight robbery of a cashier by two gunmen, Russ Rogers and Tiny Smith, developed swiftly into murder. Tiny, a powerful man with enormous hands, seized the cashier by the throat and killed him. Rogers, furious at his partner's stupidity, then shot Smith and left him in the black sedan in which they had made their getaway. With the stolen money, Rogers hurried to Smith's apartment. There, with Smith's wife, Claire, he hid the money in an old trunk. Suddenly, a police siren sounded outside the building. Then the buzzer to the Smith's apartment hummed like an angry bee.
Somebody's at the door.
Shh. Open up, Smith.
The police. What
are we going to do?
Put on the lights.
You're going to give yourself up?
Let me handle this. Put on the lights.
Okay.
Open up in there, Mr. Smith. We want in.
Just a minute. I'm coming.
You folks are heavy sleepers.
What's the matter, officer?
There's a black sedan parked in front of the building with a lot of blood on the running board.
Blood?
Yeah. All over the running board and a lot more inside.
Well, what's it got to do with us? We don't own a car.
You don't, huh?
No.
Maybe you know whose car it is, then. Take a look out the window.
I already did.
I thought you just got out of bed.
I did. I heard the siren out front, came in the living room, and looked out the window. I went back to put on some clothes and go downstairs and find out what it was all about.
Who owns that car out front?
I don't know. I never saw it in my life before.
Hmm. Where's the janitor of this joint?
Janitor? Well, I don't know. He probably...
Mr. Monks and his wife live in the basement.
There's nobody home.
Sometimes the Monks stay overnight with Mrs. Monks' sister. She lives over in Glendale somewhere.
Do the Monks own a car?
Not that I know of.
Hmm. Who lives in the apartment above this one?
Let's see.
An old bachelor. A man named Weaver.
Maybe that black sedan belongs to him.
We wouldn't know.
Okay, folks. Sorry to get you out of bed at this time in the morning.
That's all right, officer.
I'll go up and talk to this Weaver guy.
Maybe that stuff on the running board ain't blood, huh?
It's blood, all right. Good night.
Good night, officer.
You're lying to me, Russ. That black sedan out front is the one you killed Tiny.
Now listen, Claire.
Tiny didn't die. He drove the car back here.
Oh, I tell you, you're nuts. Tiny's dead. That car in front of the building only looks like the one I used tonight.
Then how do you explain the blood on the running board? How do you explain the blood inside?
I can't explain it.
I can, because it's the car you shot Tiny in. He came back here. He's hiding in the apartment somewhere waiting to kill us. He said he'd dig his way out of his own grave to get us.
Oh, what a sap I was to tell you that.
Let's get away, Russ. Let's beat it out of here.
And leave that $3,000 locked in the trunk? Uh-uh.
Why did you have to lock that trunk? I told you Tiny had the only key.
And I told you I'd have another key made in the morning.
Listen.
I heard it.
Somebody's out in the kitchen.
Oh, don't be a sap. There's no one in this apartment but you and me.
Then what was that noise?
I don't know. Probably the cat knocked over something on the kitchen table.
There it is again. I tell you Tiny's here.
Tiny's dead. He's dead, do you hear me? In that car, 2 miles away.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm going out in the kitchen.
Don't leave me alone.
I'm not leaving you alone. You're coming with me. Maybe you believe in ghosts. I don't. Come on.
Look. Look, in the bedroom.
Oh, it can't be. That's impossible.
I knew it. I knew he'd come back.
But it can't be. It can't be Tiny. We're seeing things.
Why doesn't he say something? Why doesn't he do something? Why does he just lie there on the bed?
I'm going in the bedroom.
No, don't go near him.
I'm going to get the key to that trunk.
Don't touch him, Russ. Don't go near him.
But Tiny has the key. You told me I got to get it out of his pocket. We'll get the money and beat it.
He isn't breathing.
Shh.
His eyes. I can't look at them.
All right, steady now. I'll slip my hand in his pocket. I got it. I got the key.
Hello, Russ.
Let go of my wrist.
I said I'd come back, Russ.
Let go of my wrist.
Drop the key.
Claire, get the gun out of my back pocket.
A gun won't help you, Russ. You ought to know that now.
You're breaking my wrist.
Then drop the key on the bed.
Okay, I dropped it.
That's my pal. Claire.
Don't come near him, Claire.
Take the key, Claire.
Don't come near him, I tell you.
Pick up the key. Come around on the other side of the bed and get it.
Yes, Tiny.
You've always been a good wife, Claire. Take the key. The money we got tonight belongs to you.
Tiny, with this money, we can all get away.
Sure we can. Pick up the key. Don't be afraid.
All right. I will.
Now.
Stop! Let go of me!
Now we're all together again.
Your hand is breaking my wrist!
We're all together again. You and me and Russ.
Russ! Why don't you do something?
Yeah, Russ. Why don't you do something?
I can't even move.
These big hands of mine, they're better than a gun. They can hold you two here, maybe forever.
Go on, monks. Push the buzzer again.
Ah, Dora, it's only 8 o'clock in the morning. The Smiths don't get up this early.
We'll get them up. I'm going to find out about this.
I'm going back downstairs and finish my breakfast.
You are not. You're the janitor of this building, and you're supposed to know what's going on with the tenants.
That don't mean I got to wake them up and ask them foolish questions.
I want to know if the man we heard about on the radio is our Mr. Smith.
It can't be.
How do you know? Go on. Push the button.
We've had enough trouble last night over to your sister's house. Why go looking for more?
This ain't looking for trouble. If it was him, we got to know sooner or later, and I want to know now.
He's sure going to be mad.
I want to know, that's all. You never can tell with tenants. Who'd think that mild old Mr. Weaver was the kind to go out hunting wild animals?
That's different.
All right. Stop the buzzer, monks. You buzz long enough to wake the dead.
For crying out loud, Dora. This is a fine way to start the day. I haven't
even... Try the door. The door, monks. Go on, try it. Maybe it's unlocked.
All right. Hey, it is unlocked.
Well, go on, open it. Go on in.
Hey, I got the lights in the living room all turned on.
I knew it. I tell you, there's something wrong with them Smiths.
For crying out loud. Do you see what I see, Dora?
Money. It's money laying all over the floor.
They must have been storing that money in that trunk. Look, it's open.
Yeah. Some money inside of it, too.
Well, the Schmidts never had so much money.
As far as we knew. There was always something fishy about them Smiths. And their friend, too, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Hey, what are we going to do?
Huh? What's that?
There's someone in the bedroom. It don't sound like Mr. Smith.
No, that's not Mr. Smith.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Are you crazy? We're going to find out what's the matter here. We're going into that bedroom.
Now, be careful, Dora. There's no telling who it is.
Wait. Don't go no further.
It's Mr. Rogers.
Yes. What in the world's happened to him?
Listen to what he's saying.
That car with blood all over it. That was Tiny's car. He came back.
Oh, he must have seen Mr. Weaver's car outside with all the blood on it. You'd better tell that old gent that he's scaring the other tenants. It's none of our business if he wants to go off shooting wild animals. But to bring them home dripping blood, it's enough to scare the wits out of anyone.
Blood dripping. It was Tiny's blood.
Now, Mr. Rogers, that was deer blood. Mr. Weaver's upstairs went hunting yesterday.
No, make them let me go. Make them take the cuffs off.
Cuffs?
Tiny did it. He clamped me to the bed.
You're not clamped to the bed, Mr. Rogers. Your sleeve's caught in the rod at the edge of the bed.
Monks, look at his hair. He didn't have white hair when he was here yesterday.
What happened, Mr. Rogers? What happened to you?
Tiny did it. He put his hands around her throat. Tiny did it.
Oh, he's out of his head.
Dora, it's true. On the other side of the bed, Mrs. Smith. She's on the floor.
Oh, maybe she's fainted.
No, there's marks on her neck. Say, Rogers, cut the act. Maybe you killed her.
Tiny did it. With his hands on her throat, make him get off the bed. Make him get off the bed and open these cuffs. Make him get off the bed.
There's no one on the bed, Mr. Rogers.
Don't lie to me. I can see him. He's right in front of me, lying on the bed.
But, Mr. Rogers, the bed's empty. The spread hasn't even a wrinkle in it.
But I see him. I see him. It's Tiny, I tell you.
It couldn't be, Mr. Smith. Even if something was there. It couldn't be Mr. Smith.
It couldn't?
No, he was killed. Police found him with 4 bullets in him. He was in a black sedan, they said. We heard it on the radio this morning. They found him dead about 2 miles from here.
Yes, they described him on the radio, too. And we knew it was Mr. Smith.
Huh.
He died about 12:30 last night.
Yeah, they They said he had big hands, like Mr. Smith.
But the funny thing is, he had a key in his hand.
A key?
Yes, Mr. Rogers, a trunk key. A little trunk key in one of his great big hands.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
The Haunting Hour, on Tuned to Yesterday, a 1945 broadcast from NBC Syndication. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of horror, on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lefonier. Thanks for tuning in.